7. Exodus chapter 7. I think both the messages today will complement each other. And I kind of debated which one to preach first. But I think this might be the one to go first. So, now what we're going to see here as we look at this is that God has power to work His will according to His purpose, using all His creation. God is never frustrated. He's never made to not accomplish His will by His creation. Everything that comes to pass is God working His will and accomplishing His purpose. And because that's the case, everything that comes to pass is accomplishing God's purpose of glorifying His name in the salvation of His people. Everything that comes to pass, it's by God's will. It's fulfilling God's purpose. And that purpose is to glorify His name in the salvation of His people. Now, we're going to see that in our text. I'm just going to take this a few verses at a time. The first thing that we're going to see here now, and let me remind you, this is Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ, speaking to Moses. And He says here, he's making and He's speaking through His preacher. That's what Christ does in everything. Nothing frustrates Him from doing this. He speaks through and He works through His preacher. Verse 1 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee. And Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land." Now when Christ said, "I have made thee," when He said, "I have made thee," it means Christ sanctified and sent Moses to speak Christ's word. He made him an able minister, made him His preacher. He sanctified him and He sent him to speak His word. Look at John 10 and verse 33. John 10, 33. "The Jews answered Him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Now listen to what Christ says to these men. "Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, in your word, that I said, ye are gods?" This is an example in our text. Christ said to Moses, "I have made thee a god unto Pharaoh." Look at what He says now. "If He called them gods unto whom the Word of God came and the Scripture cannot be broken." He's saying Moses was called a god because Christ, the Word of God, He is the Word of God that came to Moses. And He called him a god because the Word of God came to Moses. Christ came to Moses and sanctified him and sent him. And the Scripture can't lie. This Christ did that. And now, watch what Christ said. We know He's talking about sanctifying and sending Moses by what He says next. He said, if He called Moses a god unto whom the Word of God came, say ye of him whom the Father had sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. You see, He's saying, I'm the one that called Moses. I'm the Word that came to Moses. I'm the one who called him a god. I sanctified him and sent him into the world. Now, if you see that in your scripture of a mere sinner, are you going to say I'm blaspheming when God the Father sanctified and sent me? You see the point there? Now, that tells us that the relationship between Christ and His preacher is patterned after the relationship between God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus, whenever Christ came to this earth to accomplish his earthly ministry. That relationship of pastor and of Christ and his preacher is the same as the is patterned after the relationship of God the Father and his Son, Christ Jesus. God the Father sanctified and sent Christ into the world to accomplish his Father's will. The Father's will. And Christ took the form of a servant. He's God, but he took the form of a servant in serving God the Father as God the Father's ambassador, as his anointed, as his Christ. And so when he walked this earth, God was in Christ and Christ was in the Father. And he was doing what the Father sent him to do. He spoke what the Father sent him to speak and trusted the Father to work through him. Remember, he said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Well, Christ sends forth his preacher, and his preacher says that. My doctrine is not mine, it's his that sent me. You see, the pattern is patterned after Christ and the Father. He said, no man can come to me. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I'll raise him up again at the last day. They shall be all taught of God. That's what the Scripture said. He said they shall be all taught of God. He preached the Scripture. And he glorified the Father. And that's what he makes his preacher to do. That's pattern. The pattern of God the Father and Christ his Son. When Christ walked this earth and accomplished his earthly ministry, that pattern is used to make Christ and his minister. It's patterned after God the Father and Christ. And so Christ was to be heard. He was to be heard and believed because the Father sent him. He said, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. He's saying that because the Father sent him, sanctified him and sent him, the Father was his authority and his power in everything he said and did. And he said, and therefore, you better hear and obey me and believe me. Well, it pleased God to save through preaching in order to glorify Christ. That's why he saves through preaching, to glorify Christ. Even in the pattern between Christ and his preacher. Even in that pattern. In that relationship. Christ sanctifies and sends his preacher to preach Christ's person and Christ's works. Just like Christ came forth and preached the Father's word and his word. And Christ is the manifestation of God. He's the message of his preacher. Just like the Father and his Son was the message Christ preached. That's the message of Christ's preacher. Christ is the salvation God has provided for his people. He's everything his people need to be saved. Everything. People want to talk about the gospel being too complicated and not be able to understand it. Christ is all. If you have Christ, you have all. If you don't, you've got nothing. That's the message of the gospel. And since Christ sanctified and sends his preacher is preaching Christ's word and Christ's works. And therefore, Christ's preacher is to be heard. And his word is to be obeyed because it is the word of Christ himself. That's what Christ said. He said, the word I'm speaking is the word of him that sent me. And the word of Moses that he's going to preach when he goes to Pharaoh is Christ's word who sent Moses. And the word of Christ's preachers today that he sends is Christ's word who sent him. That means we should hear the gospel and obey the gospel because it's Christ speaking. If Christ was preaching somewhere on this earth today, if you heard Christ was preaching somewhere in this earth today, and men refused to hear him, would there be any justification for despising Christ like that? Any at all? Well, everywhere Christ's preacher is preaching today, his true preacher, Christ is preaching. He's preaching. I don't know if we understand that and grasp that as we ought to. It's just that real. Paul said, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. He's saying, we're speaking for God. And you remember whenever the people rejected Samuel? He was sent by the Lord. You remember? So when they rejected Samuel, who did they reject? Samuel said, they've not rejected thee, but they rejected me that I should not reign over them. They rejected the Lord. He said in Luke 10:16, when he sent those 70 out to preach, this is what he said to them, and this applies to all Christ preachers, because it's Christ preaching. It's Christ speaking. And listen, he said, he that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. That's pretty serious, isn't it? This thing up here in the gospel is serious. Well, when the Lord said to Moses, I've made thee a God, what does that mean? That word in the context means one who set over men by God, to whom men are to obey. That's what it means. It's used for civil rulers in the Scriptures. Remember Romans 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there's no power but of God. He's talking about everybody in authority. God put them there. And he said, the powers that be are ordained of God, and whoso therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation, because they're Christ's ministers, he said. Well, that's what it means here. He made Moses his minister and set him over men. Over what men? Well, when he said, I've made thee a God unto Pharaoh, it tells us what men. Who was Pharaoh at that time? He was the most powerful man in the world. And Christ said, I've set you over the most powerful man in the world. You have more authority and more power than Pharaoh has. He's to obey you, not you obey him. That's what Christ was telling him. The same is true of all Christ preachers. You remember what he said to Jeremiah? Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. That means over every ruler, the most powerful ruler in every nation, and the most powerful king in every kingdom. He said, Jeremiah, you're my preacher. I put you over all of them. For what reason? To root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. That's why. But Jeremiah didn't have power to do that. Moses didn't have power to do that. None of Christ's preachers has power to do that. They really do. They really do. Not in themselves, but Christ is the power and the authority of his preacher. He's the power and the authority. Christ makes his minister have more power and more authority over the strongest rulers in the world, because Christ is the authority and the power over the strongest rulers in the world. We have this thing mixed up in our day. It's not the president, and then you go all the way down the list and you get down all the way down to the preacher who's a babysitter. Christ's preacher represents Christ and preaches Christ's word, and Christ has sent him and sanctified him, and he's over the most powerful in the world. Because Christ is preaching. Christ is speaking. But Moses had a problem. He couldn't get the message himself. He didn't know what to preach. He didn't know what to say. Well, Christ alone gives his preacher the word to speak. Who came to Moses here and said, thou shalt speak all that I command thee? Christ did. He told him what to preach. You see, none of this is to glorify the preacher. The preacher is an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of the preacher. Christ gave him the message to preach. He said, you preach all I command you. But Moses had a speech problem, a speech impediment, and so do all God's preachers. We can't make God's word effectual. That's a problem. That's a speech impediment. We can't make it effectual and make anybody bow and believe. We can't accomplish God's will through it. So he said this. He said, you're going to speak what I command you unto Aaron. He's a prophet to you. Your older brother. And verse 2, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh that he send the children of Israel out of his land. Aaron is a picture of Christ, our elder brother, our high priest, our prophet, priest, and king. Christ gives the message to his preacher, and he preaches it, and Christ is the one who goes forth and preaches that word in the heart of his people to make it effectual. And so Christ's glory, you see, is the reason that God chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Christ gets all the glory in this. Christ makes his minister. Christ sanctifies him and sends him forth. Christ gives him the word to speak. Christ speaks the word and makes it effectual. Christ is the subject of the message. Everything about it glorifies Christ. That's why this thing of preaching is serious business. What we're seeing God do right here with Moses is what God's doing right now, this morning, with every single chosen, redeemed child who's in bondage. Just like he did with the whole host of Israel right there. He's sending forth his messenger to bring his child out of bondage. And he's doing something else. He's working something else. Here's the second thing we see. Through his word, God's working his sovereign will. He's working his sovereign will through the word. Everything that, if you notice this, everything that's taken place here in Egypt has been through the word. Moses declaring God's word. And everything, God's saying everything that's about to take place is going to happen through the word, through Moses speaking the word. Every bit of this. What's he going to do? Well, first of all, his word, through his word, he hardens some. He says there in verse 3, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. The first time Moses went to preach, the Lord had told him this, but he went and preached and Moses hardened his own heart, the scripture said. This time, the Lord hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his own heart the first time. And this time, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. You know, somebody will say, but how could he harden Pharaoh's heart and do that justly whenever we can't believe except it be by God's grace? Inability does not negate responsibility. You know that. I've told you this before. You have a mortgage on your house, and if you end up, you can't pay that mortgage on your house, does that mean the bank's just going to say, oh, well, then you don't have the ability, so we won't make you, hold you responsible? No, you're still responsible. And that's true. And so, everything God does, he does it justly. It was just for God to harden Pharaoh's heart as the reward for Pharaoh hardening his own heart. Look at Romans 1 with me real quick. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1:21 says, because. You know what that word means. That word means this happened for a reason. It happened in regard to something that took place. It, because of this. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Pharaoh heard the gospel the first time. He said, who is the Lord that I should believe on Him? tell the people not to believe these vain words. So this time, when the Lord sent the gospel to him, verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Now that truth right there, that's declaring God's just to turn men over to reprobation. The person who comes and hears the gospel week in and week out, and week in and week out refuses to bow to Christ and confess Christ, is hardening his heart. Every week he's hardening his heart more and more and more and more. And God is just, if God makes it, hardens his heart so that he can't ever believe again. That's a serious warning. And hearing that ought to make us just flee to Christ immediately and cast our care on him and confess him. The fact that we can hear that and still not do so is evidence that it takes God effectually, irresistibly drawing us to Christ. Isn't it? But even in the rebellious, even in those that rebel, God is accomplishing his purpose. Look here in verse 3. He said, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart that I might multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, even when I multiply my signs and my wonders. He won't hearken to you, but that's not frustrating God's purpose and God's will. He said, he's not going to hearken unto you that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. See, Pharaoh's rejection didn't frustrate God's purpose. He sent Moses forth preaching the word, and Pharaoh regarded Moses as just nobody because he judged according to the flesh, and that's how the flesh judges. Judged him as nobody. And judging him as nobody, he judged Christ as nobody and called Christ vanity by doing so. But even that rebellion, the Lord was using that to work his signs and his wonders in Egypt, to show forth his signs and his wonders in Egypt. Pharaoh's rejection didn't frustrate God's purpose. No, none of the rebellion you see going on in the world frustrates God's purpose. Every bit of it is worked together by God to accomplish God's purpose. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to purpose. Everything according to God's purpose. Did the rejection of the Pharisees when they rejected Christ, did that frustrate God's purpose in any way? No, it made it so Christ could just work. He just worked more signs and more wonders, showing how powerless the Pharisees were and how powerful God is to accomplish His will. It opened the door for Him to do more. That's how God used it. And it worked so that He might work the greatest judgment of all when all His enemies rebelled against Him so that they nailed Him to the cross. Did that frustrate God's purpose at all? The single event in the history of time, which all time revolves around. All the calendars are dated around this event. And was that frustrating God's will when men took the Son of God and nailed His hands and His feet to a cross and beat Him and stripped Him and spit upon Him and did all the things they did? Did that at all frustrate God's will? Acts 4:26 says, the kings of the earth stood up, the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. You see, when they were against Christ, they were against the Lord. They rose up against the Lord and against His Christ. They weren't touching God in heaven, but they were when they touched His Son, His anointed. And it says, for of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Acts 13:27 says, they that dwell at Jerusalem, and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. They're always searching the Word of God, saying, I just want to know what the will of God is so I can do the will of God. These men didn't know the will of God. They didn't even know what the Scripture said. And they fulfilled every word God wrote. They sure did. It says, by condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet they desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. And that was written too. Every bit of it. Everything happening in the world right now. Everything you see happening right now in rebellion against God. And that's what it all is. It doesn't matter which side you're on. It's all rebellion against God. And all of it in this world right now is being worked together by God's sovereign will according to God's purpose, and it's accomplishing His eternal purpose. Every bit of it. He said, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, and the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. If you see it and it's against God, it's praising God. Guarantee it. And if it don't praise God, God won't let it happen. It's just how it is. Believer, we can rejoice in that. That ought to make us say, I know everything is running right on track. And if you're a rebel, I'm going to tell you what you ought to do. You ought to bow and submit to Christ and confess Him, because you ain't going to win. You're just not. You just are not. Now lastly, let me show you this. In all of this, God is going to accomplish His twofold purpose. He will accomplish this in everything He's doing. Verse 5, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. Everything God does in this earth, everything that comes to pass, shall declare the glory of God's name. He says, the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt. When those enemies nailed him to the cross, and Satan was ruling his seed and thought he was really accomplishing something and really destroying Christ. And then when they nailed him to the cross, the religious folks thought they got him out of the way. They get back to their charade of religion now, and that's done and over with. And God used Satan and his seed to put Christ on the cross so Christ could crush Satan's head and defeat all his enemies. That's what was taking place. I guarantee you this. If we try to reject Christ, our rejection of Christ is going to be the crushing of our own head. You can't win. You can't win against a sovereign God. You can't win against Him. But what His enemies did to Christ, God had caused His name to be declared by that. You think about this. What Satan and all the enemies of Christ did to Christ, did it snuff out God's name? That's the very thing we've been declaring for thousands of years. That very thing. Declaring His name. And what Christ, how He declared God just and the justified, how He redeemed His people by His blood and satisfied the law and honored it, magnified. We've been declaring that His name for thousands of years. Just like what Pharaoh did, all it resulted in is us sitting here right now preaching God's name and what He did to Pharaoh. He said, and for this purpose I've raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. The enemies that are raised up and they really seem powerful and they're really going to be a danger to God's people and what have you in God's name, God raised them up to declare His power in His name. Remember that. God raised them up. And the second great purpose in everything God's working is to save His elect. He said, when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt, bring out the children of Israel from among them. I'm bringing them out, He said. God used His enemies to put Christ on the cross. And there God declared Christ declared God just. He honored the law. And what men thought was defeating God and was defeating His people was Christ honoring the law of God, establishing it in every jot and tittle, everything that magnified it for God and for His people. That was Christ declaring God the justifier as Christ justified His people from our sin right there on the cross, taking our sins away as the scapegoat and as the Lamb of Atonement, making perfect atonement with God and making us the righteousness of God in Him. And He fully accomplished it. He fully accomplished the redemption of His people. So every hateful word and every hateful deed, least to the greatest, is serving this purpose. Everything is serving. It's declaring God's name and it's saving His people. God's bringing it to pass through His word. He said He would. And He sends the gospel forth and has the gospel preached and raises up enemies through the preaching of the gospel, simply to show forth His name and His power and to save His people from their sin. Everything. In the end, every rebel is going to confess to God that He is the Lord. He is the great I Am, the Lord. Every one of them. And every child that God chose in eternity in Christ Jesus will be saved. Every one of them will be saved by Christ and not one will be lost. And when we're all delivered before our Redeemer, both His enemies and His people, Scripture says at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Everybody's going to confess, bow the knee and confess that He's Lord. He's Lord. Now, here's the application. Look at this application in verse 6 and 7. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old. That's 80 years old. And Aaron was 83 years old, 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. It's almost comical to picture this. You know what? Here's these two old men, these two old fellas. They go walking up to Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, and tell him what's about to take place, what God's about to do. It's almost comical, isn't it? Well, by their age and by their prior falls, they knew. They knew not to trust themselves. And they looked away from themselves. They didn't look to themselves in this anymore. Moses looked to himself before, and he fell in unbelief. Now, he's not looking to himself anymore. He's too old to be looking to himself. And God's grace, by God's grace, they believed God's word. And they faithfully obeyed God. They declared His word. And that's all they did. That's all God told them to do. Declare my word. They declared His word. The signs that Moses did work was just a picture of His word. That's what it pictured. But they declared His word. And by Christ, how did they accomplish this? How did they accomplish this great feat of bringing a whole nation out from under the most powerful ruler and nation in the whole world? How did they do that? Two old men. How did they accomplish that? Christ made them stronger than the most powerful man on the earth. That's how. Christ. The power and wisdom of God. And so when they saw Pharaoh harden his heart and get all in a huff like he'll do, we're going to see this. They didn't judge after the flesh. They didn't look at the flesh. They judged after the Spirit. They judged according to God's word. They didn't look to themselves. They said, this is what the Lord said would happen right here. That's what He said would happen. They continued to believe the Lord, continued to preach His word. So let's follow that example. Look away from ourselves. Look totally away from ourselves. Believe on Christ. Trust Christ. Rest in Christ. And trust God to do as He promised He'll do. Everything He's doing is to glorify His name and to save His people. And what has He given us to do? To preach His Word. To declare His Word. That's what He's given us to do. That's it. And Christ will make us stronger than the most powerful. That's what He does. Because He's stronger than the most powerful. Amen. Let's stand together, brethren. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Make us realize how true this is. And how real this is. Wherever Your Word is proclaimed, that's You speaking. Make us believe You and trust You and bow to You. Lord, manifest Your great name. Save Your people, we ask You. For Christ's honor, to glorify Him, to give Him preeminence in all things. It's in His name we ask it. Amen.